Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that we would hear your still small voice. And I ask in Jesus' name that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Don't you wish everything was black and white? Black and white. Life would be so much easier if everything was just made plain. For instance, it's said that one must not lie. One must not lie. It's in the Bible. It comes straight from God to Moses. And it's one of the Ten Commandments. Oftentimes I'll refer to as the Big Ten. Yet, is it okay to tell a little white lie that has a means to an end to it? After I had gotten Lene, my wife, an engagement ring, but I had not asked for her hand in marriage yet, if she had asked me, "Have you gotten me a ring yet?" I would have looked her straight in the eye and I would have said, "No." I didn't want to ruin the surprise. Although I must admit, she knew something was coming. Or for another example, when your child asks them on their birthday, "Did you get me a bike? Did you get me a bike?" You look them straight in the eye and you say, "No." In both cases, you don't want to ruin the surprise. A little white lie that has a means to an end. So you see, these kind of situations can create a level of tension in our lives. We want to be good Christians. We hold to a high standard of morals. And when we run across these circumstances, it creates tension. The same could be said of God. We want more of God, or for some, we say we want more of God, but we're not always up to the tasks, the practices, or we don't take on the responsibility of growing our relationship with God, which God tells us to do. God gives us the means to grow closer to himself. But we must make efforts for that to happen. And when we don't, it creates a level of tension in our lives. Last week we spent some time on God's grace, on how God actively pursues us even before we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ as a follower or as our Savior. It's God's grace. It's God's unmerited favor that reaches out into our lives before we come to know Jesus Christ. Before we're even aware of this grace, it's happening. The Holy Spirit is wooing us, drawing us, seeking us to become closer to God like electricity into a lamp that's plugged in. The electricity is flowing, but are we willing to receive? For many, it might come out as a need we have, an unmet need in our hearts, a need that we feel we need to find fulfillment to. As I have grown in my understanding of this heart need, this need that we have that needs to be met, it's a need that we need to be in relationship with God. I've learned that there's a place in our hearts that only God can fill. And when we come to God, we find that deep and abiding, that deep burning need we have is fulfilled only in a relationship with God. It can only be satisfied with a deep and abiding relationship with our Savior, with God in heaven. Unfortunately, too many people try to fulfill this need that they have by filling up their time, their lives, with what the world around says then will meet your unfulfilled needs. Getting rich, accumulating material possessions, accomplishing great goals, associating yourself with only certain people. Yet it is God's grace which tries to steer us in the direction of God where our needs can be truly met. It is also God's grace that helps us to make the commitment to follow God. Too many people think that they made a decision to follow Jesus all on their own. But it is God's grace that has brought them to this place, and it is God's grace working in us when we say yes to Jesus, when we say, yes, I will become a follower. Without it, we would be wanderers in the desert, dry, parched. And it is God's grace which continues in our lives after our decision to follow Jesus, helping us to grow in the knowledge and grace of God, helping us to know God's still small voice when God speaks to us, helping us to become more holy as Jesus is holy. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon, grace that will cleanse within. Now, within the midst of discovering God's grace for my own life, moving from the grace that drew me to Christ to the grace that helped me become right with God to the grace that is still in my life, helping me to become more like Christ, I experienced more tension. I discovered the Bible wasn't so black and white. It wasn't always so plain. It didn't clearly state what or when baptisms should occur. Even within the traditions of today's churches, there are different understandings of baptism. And they all think that they're biblically correct. They can all point to the Bible and say, yep, that's what the Bible says. They raise questions in our lives like this. When should we be baptized? Should we be baptized as children? Should we wait until a person makes a decision for Christ before they're baptized? Another question is, can we be baptized over and over again? Some Christian groups believe you can be baptized multiple times, as many times as necessary to be right with God, while others say you only need to be baptized once. Which leads us to this last question. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? What happens if you die before you're baptized? Well, let me share my experience and understanding of baptism. Like most who are baptized as infants, I was born into a home where my parents were believers in Jesus Christ as Savior of the world. My parents understood then that babies of believers should be baptized. They understood that through baptism, God's grace is poured out into that infant's life. They are initiated into the community of faith. They become a part of the community of faith. And the Holy Spirit becomes active in their lives, being poured out into their lives. I wonder, can we see this from a biblical perspective? In today's scripture lesson, we see a group of women by the river that Paul encounters. And when Paul encounters anyone, he's going to start talking about God. One of the women, Lydia, well, read it with me. Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, she was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, and it goes on to say she invited them to her home. It states in the scripture that she was already a worshiper of God. Yet, my guess is she probably didn't know of Jesus. It says her heart responded to Paul's message, the message of Jesus' love for us in the willingness to die for our sins and was resurrected from the dead. This new understanding of God had stirred her, leading her and her household to be baptized. It's unclear who made up the household, but it would have included any children, any servants, any slaves that belonged to that household. Children might have been babies. They could have been teens. They could have been older. They could have had children themselves. Scripture just doesn't tell us. It just lets us know that they were all baptized. The same that could be said for the jailer Paul and Silas encountered. And Paul said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And then these were the very next words. Read them with me. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. The jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his were baptized. Again, this man's household, all in his household were baptized, from the very old to the very young. And several other biblical references play out the same way, where a whole household was baptized. Now, historically, church history-wise, as far back as the second century, we know that infants of believing parents were baptized in the church. My parents baptized me based on what scripture and tradition led them to do. They baptized their infant son. Now, early tradition also shows adults going through a time of study. We call it catechism. Classes where they were taught about the Bible and what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Then they were examined to ensure that they were faithful believers. And then finally, they were baptized. These were disciples or believers who made a profession of faith after reaching an age of accountability. Therefore, babies should be baptized only, if you follow this, babies should be baptized only after they have made a personal decision to follow Jesus. Yet, Jesus does tell his adult disciples when they're shooing away the kids who are getting annoying, these little children, Jesus said to let the children come to him. Jesus wants everyone. So within the Bible, we see the early followers of Jesus. We see with the early followers of Jesus, it's about bringing others to Christ, about bringing others into the faith. People who were old enough to understand and make a decision for the faith, for faith in Jesus as their Savior. Yet at times, again, whole households were baptized. Now for me, when God got a hold of me at the age of 24, I wanted to experience baptism for myself. I had made this deeper commitment to God. And I wanted to express that commitment in a public way. What better way than baptism? Do you feel the tension yet? I was already baptized as an infant. I was attending a United Methodist church at the time, and I told my pastor how God had gotten a hold of my life and how I wanted to publicly express my faith through baptism. I said to my pastor, "Pastor, will you baptize me at camp in the lake? Not sprinkle, but plunge me beneath the mighty waves and then bring me up again." I didn't really say it that way. He looked at me square in the eye and he said, "No." You see, there was an aspect I was missing in my understanding of Scripture which gave room for both infant baptism and adult baptism. You see, my pastor helped me to understand that baptism is a gift from God, a gift from God to us. It's an act of grace by God to us. On one hand, believing parents baptize their children and nurture them to know and love God through Jesus Christ, so that one day they can confirm their faith in Jesus, as is about to happen this morning with Scott, Hunter, and Alexis. They're going to confirm their faith. Scott and Hunter were baptized as infants. Alexi was baptized just a couple years ago. But they're going to now stand and confirm their faith. They've reached that age of accountability where they must stand on their own two feet, so to speak, before God. On the other hand, as an adult who is not a believer and has not been baptized by believing parents, Pat, who has been in the faith for many years and is now missing from her seat. You're pointing right there. Pat is asked to be baptized this afternoon in the lake to confirm her faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a gift. It's a sacrament. The emphasis of baptism is placed on what God does in us. What God does in us, not what we do. My pastor helped me to understand that if we are baptized again, we are saying that what God said he would do at our baptism, God didn't do. And if God was going to pour out his grace, his, His Spirit, His love, and initiate me into the community of faith as an infant, then God did just that. What was I to do at 24 years old? I certainly didn't want to tell God, God, what you said you were going to do, you didn't do. Yet I had this deep desire to experience this very public act of confession and of belief. Well, my pastor looked at me again and said, we could reaffirm what God did in my baptism within the community of faith. And so that's just what I did. I reaffirmed my infant baptism, knowing that God had begun a good work in me a long, long time ago. Knowing that God's infinite grace was still at work in me, moving me into a deeper relationship with Himself. Even though there were times I had distanced myself, I had turned off the light, so to speak, not allowing God's grace, God's Holy Spirit to empower me, to lead me. I thought I could do it on my own. But God's grace is always involved in our lives, whether we're baptized young or old, whether you haven't been baptized yet. God's grace is still working in our life. The final question that we had on the screen was, is baptism necessary for salvation? And the answer is clear. It is not. Scripture is clear that it is through faith alone in Jesus Christ that one comes to salvation, that one comes into relationship with Jesus Christ, and we are saved. And faith entails one's recognition of their own disobedience to God, what we call sin, and the desire to move away from that sin, what we often call repentance, the act of turning away from sin and turning to God, and then to move into that relationship with God through Jesus, knowing that it is through Jesus' death on the cross that our disobedience is forgiven and we are saved from our sins. Our joy this morning is made complete knowing that God continually is working in all of our lives, regardless of where we're at with God. God desires. God's grace is pouring out into our lives. God's Holy Spirit is seeking to draw us all closer to God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's grace is at work, touching all of our lives, helping us to change ever so slowly or quickly to become or to be made into the image of Jesus Christ. So this morning we celebrate. We celebrate God's continuing grace that reaches into our lives. We celebrate the tension that sometimes God brings into our lives or allows us to experience, which forces us to explore what it is the Bible says. We celebrate this morning as Scott, Hunter, and Alexis come forward and confirm their faith, their belief in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as they confirm their faith, we in the community of faith confirm our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace that touches our lives, that causes us to hear your voice, that helps us to know your presence, that helps us to be more like Christ. Lord, we pray in this moment of confirmation coming up that you would remind us how you have touched our lives, how you have taken us from being so far away from you at times to drawing us near. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is always, always, always seeking to draw us closer to yourself. Help us to believe, Lord. Help us to celebrate life. Help us to know you more. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.